we drifted in the year. Eyes closed, we drift to who knows where. Our fate, the course it chooses. Battered, we collide and take our bruises. I don't believe all hope is gone. That time starts the day you're born. Don't know the meaning, don't know the giver.
Good morning, Jamaica. I'm Christopher Lydon, your guest host these last couple of weeks on Tell Me About It. This is our farewell conversation. We have invited into the RJR studio voices and sounds of Jamaica that we will remember and that we want to hear a whole lot more of. The storyteller Joan Andrea Hutchinson, the young band Zinc Fence, and the singer and songwriter of Humanity and Consciousness, Luciano, are our guests tonight. Let me just say we're greatly privileged to meet artists at so high a level of skill and stature and to present them and share them with you. Where else but Jamaica could a visitor like me sit and talk with giants of the stage and studio, people who never stop turning homegrown experience and life into the high entertainment of the world? Thank you, Jamaica. That's first. Now, our first guest is the young band Zinc Fence. They're a young band that's 2 years old, an avant-garde band, if you like, alternative band, doing a fusion of Jamaican traditional music, reggae, dancehall, jazz, swing, R&B, rock and roll, all of it. What we're listening to in the background is their first original tune that they recorded called River. And it's a great pleasure to welcome them into our studio.
Plant seeds for the devil, and yet you pray for the rain. Cause my mind to bleed, and it bleeds forever, 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 forever.
Ravletta is the singer. Five members of the band are with us in the studio, and their manager, John DaCosta. John, welcome. And let me just say, we're betting that this is the band of the future.
No, you don't have to bet. Yes, definitely. We're working to take our little niche, to make our little mark, to be remembered as something special.
What's the special?
The special is breaking down the walls that have tied the genres and separated great music. And what we're doing is throwing it all into one big pot and melting it down and simmering it till it's well done and everybody's going to have a nice, nice meal.
Are you ready to serve it to the world?
Yep. I think they're lining up now.
I'd like to take that sound apart a little bit and you can talk about the members of the band, how you compose this music, but where you learn it. What are the pieces in this stew here?
Well, basically what it is a group of young musicians who have a...
Is anybody 25 yet?
Well, yes. Basically. I would consider us still young.
Okay, where do you come from?
Yeah, most of us are. All of us are from Kingston, basically. We all live in Kingston. And what we're trying to do is bridging the gap between all of us. All of us like different genres. Tafani, who's a sax player, he's a hip-hop. He loves hip-hop. Love Jay-Z, love Ja Rule. He just loves his hip-hop. Keyboard player, Rod Stewart. You know, Elton John. Trevor, the bass player, loves his Jamaican music, him reggae, him Luciano, him Bob Marley. Denver, very eclectic. He's into more of the African rhythms mixed with jazz, hip-hop, you name it, you listen to it. And then to top it all off, this beautiful lady over there who's, I think, and I hope she's not falling asleep, Ravletta, who, it's hard to pinpoint anything that she likes, because she likes them all. I mean, just going through her CD collection, she has music that I've never heard of.
Three before. Favorite singers, Ravletta, who would you say?
Well, Whitney Houston is my you know, the singer for me. I mean, she has been a favorite of mine for a long time. I've listened to a lot of singers, Aretha Franklin, you know, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, you know. I'm into that.
Do you go back as far as Sarah Vaughan?
Yes.
Well, good.
And a little Ella.
Yeah, Ella Fitzgerald. Yeah, because my favorite music actually is jazz, so.
This is interesting. I want to know, John, we talked a little bit about inspiration. What's the ambition, and who's your competition?
I'd say ambition is to make a mark. We don't want to be the next Bob Marley. We don't want to be anything like that.
You'd take 100,000 people in a stadium in Milan, wouldn't you?
Yes, come on. Definitely. But we don't want to carry that torch. We want to create something new, something fresh, something that represents the generation that we're coming out of. Our competition is the world. Basically, we're not going to say, oh, it's going to be only Americans, it's going to be, we're going to go to Europe or Japan. No, we're just going to spread our music just like Bob.
But are you competing with, do you see yourself in competition with other Jamaican bands, American bands, Cuban bands, European bands?
It's hard to say with Jamaican bands or with any other band. We're just going to make music, make it positive and do what we do best. And people will appreciate it. So. They are already doing so. So,
you know, there are so many elements that came together for Bob Marley, obviously, and people talk a lot in Jamaica about getting it back, getting spirit and universal ideas and Rasta content and political reality and social anger all back into the music. I'd like you to spell some of those things out. Are you a political band?
No.
No, we're not.
Do you
not
want to be? Bob was?
No.
I think what we will be definitely do is addressing issues that affect us as young people.
Let's talk about what are you thinking about?
Poverty, not knowing the next step, not knowing where to turn. Who are supporting us? Who are protecting us? Who are guiding us to the future? And these issues are affecting us. And what we're doing is just writing music.
And the strength it takes to get to where you want to, you know, your goals, your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about self-esteem, self-worth, you know. Especially for the women.
That's another huge element. We keep talking about, callers keep talking about cultural imperialism alive in the world today and in the music world. The more I see of American television on Jamaica TV sets, I wonder, you know, is this fight stacked? Is this a fair battle? Can you hold on to your own voice?
That's a very good question. This is a personal comment, is for me, basically, yes, it has invaded our households and it has literally taken over how we view and what we view as culture. But I think basically we're learning from it. We are watching how the Americans do it, how they produce these programs and how they advertise it. So it's so slumptuous to us that we have to watch. We have to watch HBO. We have to watch MTV. And using that, the positive side of it, and fusing it with our music, so people have to listen, have to hear, and have to see what Jamaica has to say.
Hmm. Are you fighting back, or you're just trying to copy?
No, and definitely not fighting back, because I think it's all in sharing. They're sharing our culture, and all we're going to do is share back, always with them.
And it's definitely not copying. I've been pretty strong about that. Basically, we do what comes from inside, you know, from the heart. You know, however we feel it, we put it across, you know. That's basically...
Is there a religious impulse? Is there a spirituality in your music?
Yes.
Talk about it.
Okay, for example, River, the song that you're hearing now, many times, well, most of us, we come into the world and we are told, before anything starts to happen, we are told, oh, you're going to die, this will never. So we start limiting ourselves, our lives, you know, by the different beliefs of people. And I've just learned that you should do what you want to do, you know. Do something positive. Life keeps on moving. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you die today. It's appointed unto everybody to die, you know, at any time. But life is just about doing something positive, moving on with your life, doing what you want to do, follow your dream, you know, not limiting yourself, not limiting oneself. And I believe strongly in that, you know, and that's a spiritual side for me.
How about you, John?
For me, basically, I guess the strong connection with God and the, or whoever you may call him, is definitely takes a part, because it is what guides us every day. It is what we pray for. We pray for strength, we pray for happiness, and we pray for inspiration. And however he gives it to us is how we reproduce
it. Put it out.
You work with the spoken word, and very much with the young man that joined us last week, Dingo, Richard Dingle, known as Dingo. I'd like to listen to a little bit of the song you made with him, and then we'll talk about it.
Sure.
Junior Berg up on the side. Zig Fence. Breasts like ice cream cones. Break me off a scoop. Some of that pumpkin in my cock soup. Gangsta, but I'm freaky. Don't mean a thing. Tie me up with your G-string. Riding, sliding, hitting from behind. And cold outdoors, but warm inside. And
that you never felt a love like this before, like this before.
And I guarantee, never had no love like this before.
You never felt no love like this before, like this before. Living dreams, giving silent screams as juice-filled streams flow from untapped springs. The things kings live and men fantasize as thighs pleasure eyes. And Becca lips imagine this in nature's bedroom. Put a dim upon the moon, blossoms but a perfume to set the mood. Girl, you're blessed in the chest, Jah just smile for you. We took a while to climb those peaks, but what a view. Besides all the slow forever making love to you. Summer reflection in the sweat as your body getting better. Bet you never get another loving fit like this, baby.
I guarantee. You never had no love like
this. Is this the future of Jamaican music? Is this what audiences in London and New York and Johannesburg are going to get to know as Jamaican music? That's Dingo speaking. Junior Berger is the singer. The band is Zinc Fence, with their manager, John DaCosta. Will you take this apart? So much going on in that piece.
Yeah. Basically, when Dingo came to us with the project and said, listen, you know, he wants to do a version of R&B, a strong version, a Jamaican version of R&B, you know, so, and this is what it came out of it, basically. Mm. We went in the studio, we did all the music live. In fact, we went to a rehearsal studio before and we trashed out the music because he wanted it to be R&B, but have something that connects it with Jamaican or our ethnic background, or what we know, you know, hence the live drums and the style that we put it in.
I want to talk to the live drummer, but I want to remind listeners that you can join the conversation at 926-2178 or 926-7615 or 926-8631 or the toll-free 1-888-991-2080. Our guests are the band Zinc Fence. Do you want to talk a little bit about the drumming here?
best drummer in the world.
Well, when he came with the song, he just said to me, think hip-hop, reggae. At first I was confused, then I thought about it. For example, like, when you hear the intro, the fills, you hear the reggae. Kring, kring, kring. That's from the Bob Marley, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thingy. And the hi-hat symbol also gives a little reggae vibe. It's just a boof and a
snare
that is giving the hip-hop. You know? It's just
a vibe thing.
A vibe thing, you know? That's what I'm going to buy.
Yeah,
for real.
And did he tell you when you had it right? Or did you know?
It was just felt.
I think we all knew after the second rehearsal, we all knew that it was it. And then he said, let's go straight to the studio.
Yeah.
You know, went in and we did one take, went back in and did the vocals and came up perfect.
I'm not getting the vocal. What is the song about, so to say? what are the words about?
Okay, let me say it. It's all about sex. That's what it's all about. It's all about beauty, sex, and more sex, and more sex, and more sex, basically. And that's exactly what he wanted. That's what he said to us. He said he wanted a song that goes to all the women, that they're going to listen to and go, wow, this is okay, you know? And we gave them what they wanted.
You can't give them anything better than that, but should we try another tune? you pick a tune, John.
Yes. All right, play.
One.
Play one from this. He's gonna play one from another one from Dingo.
And would you give us a little sort of play by play?
Well, this one Dingo did on his own, and we gave him some advice on it. But again, appealing to the R&B, but still with the vocals keeping it Jamaican. There's a strong young surgent of these young, I don't want to use I can say Rasta singers that have this almost Sing J, almost like what Luciano does. But you know, they're just upsurging warrior kings and stuff are coming up. And this guy who's singing, his name is Chanta. Beautiful voice, angelic. You know, and with Dingo's raspy, you know, male voice, I think is a perfect blend to make it with this whole R&B twist to it.
Let's listen.
I'ma make you. I'm a new man.
Love you in a righteous way. Turn the love united day. Woman, I'm a dream. Love you in a righteous way. Turn the love united day. Woman, I'm a dream.
In a blink, start sinking. I think I wanna fall from the precipice of love. And I don't care at all. Girl, laugh for break a smile when I wait next to you. Feel complete from my heartbeat for you. One in a million, you're not get wet. Only if I lose, girls, is a jungle out. Now you put my loving in your embrace. It's a temple, it's a holy place.
Love you in a righteous way. Girl, I love you night and day.
That is Dingo with the help of the singer Chanta and the consulting advice of the band in our studio, Zinc Fence. We're talking about the future of Jamaican music in Jamaica, in the world. Give us a call at 926-2178 or 926-7615. Caller, you're on the air. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, this is John Black. I just wanted to ask the fans what they think about our reggae industry here in Jamaica, you know. I mean, I've been listening and I would say their type of music isn't really dancehall. So, you know, what do they think, which direction they think this music is heading into?
Let me answer that, John. I think basically we appreciate and we definitely respect the reggae industry in Jamaica. We've definitely used a lot of our influences come out of reggae. As regards to dancehall, my problem with dancehall is the marketability of it worldwide. Yes, it's ethnic. Yes, it is what the people want in Jamaica. But how do you, let's say, not water it down at the same time, but produce it so it can stand against any other music form around the world? And that is what my concern is. Our route basically is to fuse what we feel, music that we are in touch with, and fuse it with our own reggae music, basically.
John, the caller, can I just ask, are you saying this something lesser or I don't know. How does this compare with dancehall for you?
Me? Dancehall is my life.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, we'll see what's going on, you know, Stone Love Anniversary, that's like a perfect example of how dancehall can be corrupted by other people. Yeah, Rob, let a big up here. Yeah? I feel no way. So let's see, I. Well, Zing Friend, give thanks, yeah?
Alright. Thanks, John.
Bless.
Now, do you want to decode that a little bit for me? I mean, what's he saying about your music? Is he telling you to get lost?
He definitely likes it. I think he does. He's just appreciate. He just wants us to appreciate all the forms.
Okay. Does he? Do you mean that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for joining us on Tell Me About It.
Yes, this is the Rasta from the Mountain. Blessing to everyone.
Hi.
There is underlining element that dwells in this pluralistic society. One that says oppression is real and it continues. Plantocracy and slavocracy does exist and continues continually. There are some of us who speak truth to power. There are some of us who are Nanny Bogle, Three Finger, Jackman Song, who can never forget what has transpired of our people for 500 plus years when Guthrie and Kodjo signed the peace treaty and allowed us to fight against each other.
You know, caller, can I just...
Yeah, I have one statement.
Please, and I want to hear your view of Zinc Fence.
Yeah, it is that element that I am speaking of, the Bora, the Etu, the Dinky Mini, the Banga, that we saw forth come into reggae, hip-hop, and the rest of it. Because if you do know, it is we here in Jamaica who did the scatting of the record that gave hip-hop and so forth. But the same element that it is all one people and one music, but hear me. I am saying that as long as we continue to make music here in Jamaica, there will always be an Anthony B, a Bob Marley, and elements of those in the music that shall speak with an AK-47 from the barrel of a gun through the pen. And that is what I say. Give thanks.
Caller, thank you.
Bless it.
John, again, I need a little translation here. Is he saying step up the spiritual urgency of this music?
I think he's directing a general statement to say that, yes, we should own up to the music that we produce. In other words, we have influenced other music forms around the world, and we should stand up and say, yes, we have. And definitely, I respect all that he has said. And it has even given me more thought, because probably that's where we need to go back. We need to go back to the ethnic drum patterns and fuse that more into our music and make it more tangible.
Ravletta, I want you to have the last word. Are you up to the challenge? Can you satisfy our Rastaman caller?
Yes, I can. Actually, I'm a dancer as well. And I'm very much into my culture. My favorite dance is a kumina, so I'm very much in touch with the different rhythms and African rhythms and cultural rhythms. So, yes, I can.
More power to you. And thank you very much for joining us on Tell Me About It. We've been talking with the young band Zinc Fence. When we come back, we're going to talk to the storyteller Joan Andrea Hutchinson. And after that, with the great singer Luciano, I'm Christopher Lydon, talk show host from the States. This is our last conversation on RJR. Please join us. You can call in at 926-7615 or the toll-free 1-888-991-2080. We'll be back after a very short break.
We're traveling all night long. Thank you, Lord, for a brand new day.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for a brand new year.
Thank you, Lord.
Cause only you alone know what the next day bring.
Next day bring.
And only you alone know what the next year bring. Cause we don't know how we're traveling.
So we don't know how we're traveling.
Cause only Jaja know how we're traveling. Cause only Jaja know how we're traveling.
Tapa.
Cause we don't know traveling. No, 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 don't come. We don't know
how we're traveling.
Jah
is seated on the Most High,
most high,
giving us creativity, fill us with spirituality. Jah is seated on the Most High,
most high,
giving us creativity, fill us with spirituality.
Stop the guns before they stop us. You can with the help of Crime Stop. Crime Stop is offering rewards for information leading to the recovery of high-powered rifles, submachine guns, semi-automatic pistols, revolvers, and shotguns. Call Crime Stop 1-888-991-4000 and stop the guns before they stop us.
The Sprint Lucky Caller promotion is back. Yes, collect callers. Use Sprint for your regular collect calls to the USA, and you can be a lucky caller and win cash. The Sprint operator will let you know if you are a winner. In addition to all that cash for being a lucky caller, you can also be a winner with me, Richie B, on RJR. Join me Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3:30 p.m. on the beat for the Sprint Lucky Caller promotion. All you have to do is answer a question related to this exciting promotion, and you can win a fabulous gift basket of Grace products. You know the way to call the USA. 1-800-877-8000. Hey, the Sprint Lucky Caller promotion is back. Don't miss it.
The big one, the 4-in-1 special, the quad pack combo advertising package. Three radio stations with approximately 50% market share, and a TVJ also with approximately 50% market share. Advertisers, the quad pack combo advertising package gives you reach and frequency at an affordable rate too. In other words, you're getting the the quad pack combo. RGR 94 FM, TVJ, Fame FM, Radio 2 FM. Advertising has never been so easy. Advertising has never been so affordable. Give us a call today at 926-1100 and ask for our dynamic marketing department. Over now.
Good morning again. I'm Christopher Lydon, your guest host these last 2 weeks on Tell Me About It. This is our last night. We're engaging this evening all manner of voices of the modern changing Jamaica that we've come to love and want to hear a great deal more of forever. We were talking to Zinc Fence, the young band. For the next half hour, we're going to talk with the storyteller, Joan Andrea Hutchinson. She is a comedian, she says. She's also a writer and performer, famous for really composing, in a certain sense, the true contemporary record of Jamaica and delivering it on stage. She comes out of the tradition of the great Louise Bennett, but also out of the spirit of centuries of spoken word, oral history, storytelling, real art in Jamaica. Join the conversation with Joan Andrea Hutchinson. You can call in at 926-7615 or the toll-free 1-888-991-2080. Joan Andrea Hutchinson.
What a guan.
Good morning.
What a guan.
What a guan. Explain that.
What's happening? What's going? What's wow, up? What's up?
What's happening?
Yeah, man.
We're very pleased to have the whole Hutchinson family.
You have a few missing, but yes, you have half of us.
Roger producing and Joan Andrea talking. I want you to tell us a story, and I want you to do that kind of, do what you do, both the commentary and the documentary record.
Mm-hmm. Which are the many stories you want to hear now?
I want to hear them all, Joan Andrea. I want to hear as many as you can fit in between now and in the next half hour.
Mm-hmm. So which part you want to start?
You tell me.
Well, let me see now. I come from a very talented family. You know, my mother has always been very talented, and she has encouraged that kind of talent, you know. My mother encouraged me to perform when I was very little. Mm. I would be in church and performing, and she'd be there applauding and that kind of thing. So I knew pretty early in life I wanted to be a communicator. And so, for example, my business card, it can't say just broadcaster, it can't say just writer or actress or teacher or motivational speaker. It has to have everything on it. So I just say I'm a communicator. You know, in whatever form, if I'm communicating from the stage, if I'm teaching a class, if I'm working on radio, whatever, I am a communicator. You know, so that's where it all started for me. I kind of like got very serious about my writing. Well, my first exposure to writing, of course, was primary school, as is the case with many Jamaicans. And the first time I read a Louise Bennett piece was this one about the voting day. Me go down tongue figure. I go, me go down tongue for go vote, Miss Lies, in a me decent mood, and Duckfoot, I am an acne son, just cause me forget out rude. That was the first time I was exposed to Louise Bennett's work. Yeah. And that was, I must have been like 7 or 8, and it's like, wow, this thing just opened a whole new world. I said, now here was somebody writing in the language that made me comfortable, you know? And I kind of just decided very early I was going to write. I knew I was going to write. Knew very early I was going to write. And I started writing in high school, but I didn't get very serious about my writing until, let me see, I must have been about 25, 26. I was living overseas, and you know, you kind of are more in touch with things Jamaican when you're overseas. And I got very serious into my writing, and I came back to Jamaica, and yes, the rest is history.
Now, that's the overall story. I'd love you now to tell us the kind of thing you tell from the stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, a lot of people see me as just a comedian. They see my work as very funny. Yes, my work is very funny because I use the vehicles of wit and humor. But I really consider myself a social commentator, a documenter, a, you know, somebody who wants to preserve Jamaican oral history. So what I do is I look at situations around me. I'm very observant. So I will look at situations around me and I document them. But I document them in the language of the Jamaican people. Now, Jamaicans are at least bilingual. You know, some of us love to pretend that, oh, we don't speak patois. You know, it's a bad language. It's broken English. It's not. You know, the Jamaican language is a language in its own right. And until you go and study a subject like linguistics, do you begin to understand that it has its own phonological structure. It has its own morphological structure. It has its own syntactical structure. But for the most part, we are taught, you know, as a post-colonial people, our language is not good enough. But the language is so wonderfully expressive. It's so wonderfully colorful. I mean, you know, how can we live without it? And we love to pretend we don't understand it, you know. Many of us turn up our noses and say, oh, I don't understand it. But every Jamaican understands it. Everyone, are we?
I don't always, I have to tell you. So when you do some of these voices, I won't know exactly what you're saying, but will I feel it?
More than. I mean, it has got its own rhythm. So very often, you don't even understand every single thing about a piece, you know, but within its context, put it in its context and you will understand, you know. And the language is so colorful, it's so expressive, it's so melodic, it's that it has its own rhythm and its own energy. It, well, boom language that. As Miss Lou always said, bonononos, which means nice and sweet.
Would you give us a sample?
Well, what you want to hear about? Tell me what you want to hear about.
I want to hear any kind of story that combines these elements of Jamaican language, Jamaican thinking, Jamaican spirit, and your own, you know, your own comment on the world.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's a piece which is very, very dear to my heart because a lot of Jamaicans call me the bumpy head gal or that bumpy head gal. I don't know if you've heard that story.
No.
Okay, well, that's an interesting little story, right? I mean, I had been, you know, we have issues as a post-colonial people. Our language is not good enough. Neither is our hair. Neither is our skin. So our women go around bleaching their hair and bleaching their face, straightening their nose, straightening their hair. Because we're told everything about us, our music, our food, all of that is not good enough. So I was living abroad, you know, and I had stopped straightening my hair, and believe me, I don't have a problem with people who want to straighten their hair, trust me, because I believe live and let live, and you know, plurality, we can do what we want to do. So I decided I come back home now, and I'm hosting a television program on you know, education for teenagers.
Yes.
And I chose to wear my hair in a style which had never ever been worn on television before. It's a style that we call Chiny Bump. I don't know why, because I don't see no Chinese people with them here in that style. But it's like just little bumps in your head, little knots in your head.
Okay.
But you see, that kind of broke the convention because it was not an accepted hairstyle for something like, you know, anything formal, you know, for anything, you know, for television and that sort of thing. So I dared to go on the television with my hair in that hairstyle. And, you know, I was joking around with my panel. I had, you know, a panel including educators, child psychologists, etc. And we were joking around before the start of the program. This was 1996, you know. And we were joking around and saying, well, I wonder if people are going to be upset about my hairstyle. But I was joking. I thought it was a joke. Well, may I tell you something, Masa? By the time the program done, there were 26 phone calls. The station received 26 phone calls from people who were angry. I mean, I had totally affronted them by appearing on television with my hair in the hairstyle. And if you then call, then cuss, take that dirty bumpy head gal off the TV. A lady called me at my office the next day. I was working with KLAS FM. And a lady called me the next day and she said, you know, I normally hear you on radio reading news and I was very impressed. But now that I've seen you on television, you're a damn good place to make a women. And if you ever appear on TV like that, I'm going to switch it off. Don't you ever come back on my TV like that. You're like dirt, you know. And people were angry, but...
What did that mean, do you think?
Means that people are not comfortable with themselves. Because, unfortunately, the people who were making these comments were people who look like me. People of African descent who look like me. But for too long, because, you know, we're a post-colonial society... For too long, we've been told our hair is not good enough, our skin is not good enough, our food, our language, the way we talk, everything about us is not good enough. So my hair, it's changing now, eh? But up to 5-8 years ago, I would say over 90% of the Jamaican population, in terms of women, they were still straightening their hair.
Right.
Now, me no have a problem with people who want to straighten their hair. It's their hair, and if they want to straighten it, it's for them problem. If I want to get up tomorrow and straighten it, it's my hair. But the thing is, if I want to keep my hair in its natural state, then it shouldn't be a problem to anybody else.
Yes.
You know? And you see, these are the issues. We're not even aware of how deeply ingrained these social issues are. Because a Chinese person, a person of Chinese extract, is allowed to have their natural hair, and that's acceptable. A person of Indian extract, Caucasian extract, is allowed to keep their natural hair, and that's okay. But a person who is black, right, and who has Negroid hair... Then sometimes we have issues. Listen, man, there have been people who have been, you know, denied jobs in Jamaica, denied promotions because they refuse to straighten their hair. We don't address those issues, you know.
Wow.
And if you look at, for example, even the beauty contests, you know, if we've had beauty contests for 30 years, how many dark-skinned women have actually won a beauty contest? What are you saying to the women around? If you're dark-skinned and have natural Negroid hair, you're not beautiful? you know. So, I mean, we have to be very careful about the messages that we're sending, the subliminal messages. And so these are the social issues on which I comment. So in response to all of this, you know, everybody was nyamming up themselves. You know what that means, right?
No.
When you nyam up yourself, you get excited and killing up yourself over something. Everybody okay. was nyamming up themselves over this whole issue of me coming on TV with my hair like that. And my response was simply to write a poem which became the title track of my first cassette. I called the piece That Bumpy Head Gal, and I called the cassette That Bumpy Head Gal. And it simply says, hey, tell me, say me not good enough for your TV screen. Say me offend your eyesight. Tell me, say me is a black, ugly, bumpy head gal. And me tell you, me feeling right. Cause me say me is a butto and me not have no class. Trace me and galang rude. Tell me say a educated woman should know a little better. And me tell you, me feeling good. You say me hairstyle disgusting and chaka chaka and tan bad. And look like Cynthia out a street. And say me should ashamed for left me house tan so. And me smile, cause me feeling sweet. You see, the truth is, me not ashamed of me own self. Me not afraid of me. When me look in at the mirror, me like this mother when me see her look upon me. Me like her thick, nappy hair and her broad face. Me like her in and out of clothes. And best of all, me love her. She stand up for and defend and oppose she oppose. But serious, when you go fall in love with you and let go of all of your fear, when you go take the time, tell God thanks for your life instead of fret about here. Because if it kinky or straight, if we're black or white, transparent or opaque, God make all of you a special reason, and God don't make mistake. But if all you can do is criticize the father work, then your life are going to be salt, because God love we and him look out for we, even when we have no fault. So, galang, call me black and bumpy head if you want, but make sure so you say it loud, because the creator love me, and me feel good to be bumpy head, black, and proud.
Thank you. Thank you. Joan Andrea Hutchinson, That Bumpy Head Gal is the piece. Joan, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, I've performed, you know, a lot in the U.S. and also in the Caribbean, and the response to the piece has been so good. You know, after that whole thing, you know, I released the cassette and thing, I did notice, I'm not, you know, patting myself on the back or taking credit for it, but I did notice that a lot of women started reverting to natural hairstyles because now it was as if I had given voiceless women a voice on this issue. So it became a sense of, oh, well, if Joan Andrea Hutchinson can do it, then I can do it too. Women started cutting their hair. Women started going to work with natural hairstyles. And, you know, their bosses literally couldn't say anything to them anymore. You know, I had published a poster which had a very beautiful picture of me in the bumpy head hairstyle with a poem written on one side. And people were putting this up in their offices. You know, it's kind of like statements to their bosses.
Right.
Trust me. You know.
Joan Andrea Hutchinson, don't go away. We have a caller that wants to talk to you. And I'm also going to ask you when I come back, I hope you'll tell us the piece about Annie Palmer. But don't go away.
Yeah.
Caller?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining us on Tell Me About It. We're talking about voices of Jamaica in a new century and maybe an underlying message about Jamaica. Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, my name is Michael, and I have a very varied background. I studied in the Soviet Union in the before the collapse of... well, during the upheavals, I went there, 86 came back in... '86 came back in 92.
Yep.
After Gorbachev was ousted by... and the Soviet Union broke up. So I have a very good picture of what the world has transformed from and what it is now. Well, first of all, she reminds me very much of Paul Keynes Douglas.
Say the name again.
Paul... My name is Michael. But
no, but she reminds you of...
She reminds me of Paul Keynes Douglas, who is from Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
And I just recently bought his new collection of poems and short stories, because he was in Grand Cayman, where I lived for a while.
I hope you have bought my cassette, them too.
I have only one, and that's one from about 1988. Somebody
has to make sure you buy all three, and nobody copy them either. Nobody pirate them either.
I don't do that.
now, John Andrew Hutchinson, what does the Paul Keane Douglas association mean to you?
Well, it means a lot because Paul is somebody who I revere, I respect so much, and I have had the honor of performing with him at least four or five times in the Caribbean and in the United States. Paul is like the, you know, the grandmaster of storytelling in the Caribbean.
Mm.
Paul Keane Douglas is to Trinidad and the rest of the Caribbean what Louise Bennett is to Jamaica. And,
I see.
You know, and he's such, I mean, he's a total gentleman. About his performances, he is absolutely wonderful. No, man, love him to death.
Ah.
Back to the
Carl, go ahead.
Cultural expressions of Jamaica.
Yes.
I noticed you had Zinc Fence, and one of the ladies said that jazz is her favorite music. And jazz is my favorite music. But I'd like to say something. I quite often... And this is my problem with a lot of the things associated with dancehall. I don't dislike dancehall, but this is part of the problem. When I say jazz is my favorite music, one of the first first reactions I usually get from my fellow countrymen is that, well, that's white people music. I get it quite often. Or that's music for the rich people.
And dancehall is for the poor.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any particular chapel that I have to worship at when it comes down to cultural expressions.
Hmm.
I don't have to love only reggae music. I can like jazz and classical and everything else that gives voice to people's people's feelings.
Yes.
Political expression, because there's a man, for example, my favorite, if I tell you who my favorite whaler is, people usually jump at that too. My favorite whaler is really Peter Tosh.
A lot of people say that. But you're telling me that you're a jazz head like me.
Yes.
But that you don't look down on dancehall.
I don't.
Is dancehall, well,
certain things about it I looked on, and violence, promulgation of violence. For example, I read recently where Jay Flag, this group of what they call them homosexuals, were saying that some of the expressions, the homophobic expressions, are not really creative.
Mm.
And that's their mistake, because it's creative homophobia. And it's so creative that it seeps into your mind, and so everybody can say log on and step on Chichiman. And it is the creativity of it that makes it dangerous, and not the lack of creativity.
John Andrea Hutchinson, I wonder if you want to comment on dancehall.
Well, you see, I believe it's not even just a comment on dancehall. You know, I believe in the live and let live. I believe we have choice, and we have a right to exercise that choice. I think some of us are too narrow-minded. We feel that, oh, because we live in Jamaica, we must only love reggae. That's totally wrong. So are you therefore saying the people in Japan must not love reggae, they must only love their music? You see, that's the problem we run into. I've heard reggae artists complain, you know, during Carnival, every minute they're playing pure soca music on the radio, and them should ban the whole heap of soca. Do they understand that there are countries in the Caribbean that play more reggae music than their own music?
Hmm.
You know, there are countries in the world that worship reggae. So in the same way we want other people to embrace our music, we have to understand that we have to also open our minds and embrace other things. And this is how we have the kind of fusion of stuff, because we become exposed to other areas of culture.
But catch this. This is very interesting. I don't know how many people know that one of the best catalogues of Jamaican reggae music, not just Jamaican reggae music, but reggae music in general, is a guy out in California called Ernie B. This guy has a huge catalogue.
Yes.
Of reggae music.
But can I ask you both? I want to ask a sort of different question. Why is it that Jamaican music, especially reggae, in the hands of Bob Marley, but Jamaican music in general, why does it travel so well?
Number one, I think the Jamaican people have an indomitable, we have a spirit that makes us who we are. That is number one. It's not just Bob Marley, because Jimmy Cliff was on the scene long before Bob became international. And Louise Bennett was there long before there was Bob, and recognition of Bob Marley. I mean, she was there saying colonization in reverse in those days. The fact of the matter is that we take with us, wherever we go in this world, our culture. What is nice for me, for example, and this will give a very good color to what I'm saying. I went to Berlin for the first time in 1998, and there I met a Jamaican who is Michael Olin's brother, the cricketer's brother.
Yes.
His name is Ralph Olin.
Yes.
He has a band out in Germany called Vitamin X, which plays reggae music.
Right. Okay.
No, he's the only Jamaican in the group. The rest of the guys are from Africa. Zimbabwe and Nigeria and places like that. The fact of the matter is that we take with us our culture wherever we go.
And I bet you any money he's the leader of the band, don't?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, man, because, you know, that's the thing about us now, Chris. We are natural leaders. You know, when you look at college campuses in the United States, you know, every Caribbean association is headed by a Jamaican. They think of, when they think of Caribbean, they think of Jamaicans. So, for example, when bad things happen among the Afro-American community, you know, Caribbean community, in the U.S., they automatically think it is Jamaicans because we are just born leaders. Our music is also, I mean, you play reggae alongside many other types of music. Reggae kind of connected to your heartbeat in a certain kind of way. It kind of is connected to your heartbeat.
There's something about, I'm going to give you an example of what reggae music is. I came home one day and saw my girlfriend's daughter gyrating, or we call whining, in Jamaica. And I asked her, where did you learn to do that? She turned around, she said, now the African thing, the African thing, it's I personally, I don't want to get reduce us to the state of animals, but I believe that there are certain things which are transported to us by our forebears that are not necessarily seen, but they are somewhere in our
blood. Well, they're felt and they're heard, God knows. Caller, thank you. Joan Andrea Hutchinson, I want you to tell us, give us the Annie Palmer piece, and then maybe you'd tell us why you think this Jamaican voice is so powerful. But would you tell us the story?
Which story? The Henny Palmer piece?
Yes.
Well, okay, that piece, you know, that piece is the I would say it's the piece de resistance of my work. I mean, everybody keeps asking for that piece. Sometimes I want to, sometimes, you know, when I was performing, because I don't perform anymore, right?
Yes.
And I retire, I get old now, you know?
But, we're not going to let that happen.
You know, but sometimes I would say, you know, boy, I've done this piece over and over and over, I'm not doing it anymore. But everywhere I go, people demand that piece. And I think part of it is, you see, what it does is it speaks to, all right, as I meant, you know, I consider myself a descriptive writer rather than a prescriptive writer. I'm not here to tell people how to live their lives. I'm here to hold that mirror up to the Jamaican society to show them what is right and what is wrong about their lives. I just hold the mirror up so they can examine it for themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, why this piece, I think, works so well for people is that, again, let's go back to the essence of the lack of self-esteem among many Jamaicans. Our language is not good enough. So very often what we try to do, all of a sudden, we need to impress somebody. We put on an American accent. We put a Jamaican in front of a microphone. They put on an accent. They have to make a presentation. They have to, you know, you find a little man who pray in church every Sunday morning. Him get up and him say, oh, thank you, Father Jesus. But then you have an outside broadcast and the Governor General is going to be there or the Prime Minister. Suddenly the church thinks he's not good enough to pray. So then you have to find somebody who very speaky, spooky, and round up their mouth and speaky, spooky, even if they have no religious commitment. You know, and what that says, there is also a strong correlation, unfortunately, between language use and people's perception of intelligence in Jamaica. So somebody who is a Creole speaker is perceived as less intelligent than an English speaker.
Yes.
Somebody who's a Creole. So, I mean, if I'm going to walk on the road and I'm going to say, Begelikla dat no sinting de no masa, people think I'm less intelligent than if I were to say, may I have some of that? And that is very unfortunate because some of our brightest people are not very versed in the English language.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And some of our dunces people are very versed in the English language. So, as I said, this is why this piece is so successful because everybody can relate to the concept of the trying to speaky spoke it to the point where we hyper-correct and it sounds stupid because we're trying so hard. So the Henny Palmer piece, now, this was written after I took a tour of the Rose Hall Great House. Have you been there?
No.
Okay, you must. You're okay. Halfie Gode.
Okay.
Right. The Rose Hall. You know the story of Henny Palmer, right? The witch.
I don't.
Right. Well, this piece was written after I took a tour of the Rose Hall Great House a couple years ago. I met a tour guide called Marcia. Can you see? Jamaican people, you know, we on this accent thing. Jamaican people feel like they always got to get an accent, you know? Some Jamaican people get an accent by the time they catch out to Airport Road, they got an accent before they catch on the plane. Some Jamaican people get an accent from reading foreign newspaper or getting a foreign letter. They get a accent long time. You go to Ocho Rios, for example, and there's a glass bottom boat. But they write on the side of the boat, you know, GLAZBADAM, you know, glass bottom. So you know it's a glass bottom boat. So I take this trip now to Rose Hall Great House, meet this tour guide named Morcia. She said, see ya. I mean, they not coming in place make people get figured in yard. I wanted an old idiot tourist people doing. good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Jamaica's greatest attraction, the Rose Hall Great House. My name is Morcia, but you can call me Sia if you wish. You were know that Sia is a word in Jamaican patois? Would have never been no? Well, it's like I say, if anybody taps on a foot or doesn't or anything, you need to say Sia. Now repeat after me, Sia. Very good. I think you could give you a diploma into patois. Now, this tour where we dig a gopan is very danger, for there are spirits in the house. That is what make we keeps the light down so low. Now, please careful not to take any picture, for the spirits fray the light and will rehawk violence pon huno. You afraid? No needs to afraid. I doesn't frighten Viduppy. I frighten Duppy. Now, this great house were built in 1770 by a man what name is a Palmer when he were the custom of the parishions of St. James. His wife what were live here with him were the famous Henny Palmer, and she were a witch. She were a beautiful and bossy white woman what were come from England, but were learned voodoo into the island of Haiti. Our hair were tall down into our back like a river mama, and she were out a little wire waist like mine. They say she uses to eat raw meat and Wallace catch banned pepper. Now, when you see how the place keeps good, well, our nice man, what name is Sir Rollins, what fix it up so a nice tourist can get to hinjite. Ladies and gentlemen, follow back me. Now, this is the kitchen, and if you look back at Yasso, you will see one secret tunnel what were led out to the beach. One time when a henny slave boyfriend and what were there with her, each in there when you were come to visit her. And you know what she do, ladies and gentlemen? You know what that wicked woman were do? She dash hat heil panim. Ladies and gentlemen, Henny Palmer were married 3 times. And you know why? It's not cause they're ups when them couldn't take her, ladies and gentlemen, but cause say Henny Palmer were most wickedest. Where you know what she were does with her 3 ups when them? Where you know what she were does with her 3 ups when them? She were kill them. The first one she were pison, the another one she were tub, and the last one she were chongle. And if you look over there upon the tree, the beach, you will see tree coconut tree. Well, over there, so she were buried the tree up upon them. So you men's better careful of pretty ladies like me. Now, careful as you ascend down the steps, for you doesn't want Henny Palmer dump it to Shubano, and you doesn't want her up upon them dump it to think you is she and try to hawk vengeful upon Huno. Now we're out into the bright Jamaican sunshine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Henny grave. Over Yasso is which part they were buried Henny when she were die in 1833. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it was not her, her voodoo what backfire and kills her. It was her very same slave boyfriend what she were keep, assassin her one night into her sleep. They just could not take her wickedness anymore. But you know, hen time Henny Palmer were die, it were not her slaves is what were buries her. Anybody ever hear about the famous poet Elizabeth Barrett Brunging? What a set of people don't. Me say, anybody ever hear about the famous poet Elizabeth Barrett Brunging? Well, I went see our great-grandfather slave them way when I lived topside over there, so I said, a man in a great house, his word day, what were Barry Henny. Now, Henny Palmer ghosts are to be seen up and down the place of flitting and a flatten, especially at night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for coming on the tour of the Rose Hall Great House. Please, and now you go back to your foreign lands, please to tell your friends about the Rose Hall Great House and about Morcia. But before you go, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask you all if you'd like to leave a small contribution up air. Just a little small contribution for all the wonderful information I give. They say the dollar is revaluing, but phone and currency are still a little stronger. Just a little small contribution cannot arm in a pocket and can't some mean for tourists. I trust in a trusty little ticket come over here. What you see the small contribution, ladies and gentlemen, is that between the owner, you know, management now treat you good inside you. But just a little small contribution, I would be eternalistically grateful. Nobody not leaving anything. What does set of people mean? Well, I sincerely hope that when it goes back to the foreign lands, I want to hop in a grip, want to find Henny Palmer into a grip, and she niam on a way. That's real far, great hope.
Joan Andrea Hutchinson, thank you enormously. I mean, from me and from all the listeners for joining us on Tell Me About It, and for just reminding us of the glory of spoken poetry that goes back to Homer and beyond. But that's the best. Thank you very, very much. When we come back from a short break, the singer Luciano will be our guest. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you seeking to locate an old friend or maybe a family member? Well, why not let Ralston McKenzie help reacquaint you with your long-lost loved ones? Call or drop him a line on Sunday Contact, heard on RJR, Sunday evenings from 7 till 9:30. Sunday Contact with Ralston McKenzie, courtesy of Horton's Pharmacy, 18 West Park Crescent, Mandeville. The convenience store now open till 10 p.m.
The big one, the 4-in-1 special, the quad pack combo advertising package. Three radio stations with approximately 50% market share, and a TVJ also with approximately 50% market share. Advertisers, the quad pack combo advertising package gives you reach and frequency at an affordable rate too. In other words, you're getting the. The quad pack combo, RGR 94 FM, TVJ, Fame FM, Radio 2 FM. Advertising has never been so easy. Advertising has never been so affordable. Give us a call today at 926-1100 and ask for our dynamic marketing department. Over now.
Rise and shine to the dawn of a new morn weekdays with RJR 94 FM. It's Good Morning Jamaica with the most perfectly percolated pair of nuts in Radioland, Alan and Duran. From the crack of dawn till we cart them off to the Nutcracker Suite, it's a non-stop Ferris wheel of fun and factoids. Travel beyond the millennium on a roving report. It's bound to make you laugh. Weekday mornings on RJR 94 FM.
If over 90% of us in Jamaica were fully literate, what would that be like?
There'd be less violence. People would make more intelligent choices. Not because idiot things would have cut out.
Exactly. So can we see the big picture?
Stop thinking more me, me, me. Don't be selfish. Don't be so selfish.
Think about our beautiful country and be a part of making it better for all of us.
By joining up with the 100% Literacy for Jamaica program.
So this is how the 100% Literacy for Jamaica program works.
There are marked book barrels in all Sangster's bookstores here at the radio station, 32 Lyndhurst Road, Horton's Pharmacy in Mandeville and Spanish Town, and we'll tell you where else.
Go through your books and pick out reading material and storybooks in good condition for children 4 to 11 years of age, or you
can... For crying out loud, you can just purchase a few books for the kids. What's it gonna do? Short your lunch money?
Take the books to any one of the 100% book barrels and drop them in. You can also volunteer to read to kids in your parish.
Yep. You can call the hotline 806-1493 and tell us where and who you are and when you can read to kids in school on a Friday or at a parish library on a Saturday.
Be a part of the 100% Literacy for Jamaica program.
It's the thing, haven't you heard?
The full-on training.
Yeah.
For more information, call the hotline 806-1493.
806-1493. Zine, be cool like that.
Yeah. The spirit of Christmas from the heart of the city. Radio RJR. Jamaica.
Oh, John, the wicked are up on 99, their multitude, trying to conquer our life. Deliver and give ear into our supplication.
He's a call on John to rise on 99 and the Gideon. And I hail for right. Babylon. It's a call on Jah to rise I and I in at the Gideon. And I hail for right to defend I and I from the wicked one. Jah sent Moses and Aaron to take I and I to the promised land. Saint Joshua, who's the son of Nun, who brought I and I across River Jordan. And though the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites all tried to fight against the Israelites, Jah gave us victory before the daylight. God we call on Jah, Jah is the Gideon, is the Alpha Rise, against Babylon. Is I call
on. I'm Christopher Lydon again, your guest host on Tell Me About It. Jamaican music is the art where the suffering voice of the people can become the triumphant spirit of the universe. Our guest, Luciano, is one of those Jamaican musicians. He grew up in Manchester. He came to Kingston first to learn upholstery, but he's been drawn since his childhood toward music of deep feeling, music that lifts up the whole human cause. The song we're hearing is Call on Yahweh. Luciano, we're very excited to have you in our studio and to be talking about the future of Jamaican music.
A very blessed good morning, Brother Christopher. And Jamaica out there, greetings, North respect. All Rastafarians, devices. Greetings in the mighty name of Emperor Haile Selassie. In the name of Yahweh, I am that I am. In the name of Yahshua, the Messiah, the Redeemer. Bless him.
You've said so many interesting things about music, and I'd like to talk about them. Music is love. Music is a religious ritual. You said musicians are like Moses.
Definitely, sir.
I mean, tell us.
Incidentally, those first words were used by Brother Garnet Silkwini. He did a song, he said, the music is like the rod, and we are Moses, you know. In the sense, we definitely, people look to us for inspiration, for guidance. And we, the same in which Moses would use his rod to carry them out of captivity, we use the music to elevate them spiritually. And this is how we see it on a spiritual sphere, you know. Very important that we continue to keep the culture and the roots and the natural reality in the music, you know.
You talk about music that people need to hear, maybe one by one, but maybe a whole country needs to hear. Music of healing, music of nourishment, really.
Definitely.
I mean, music of teaching. How did this come to you?
Well, you know, you mentioned that music is life. Music is really, it's like a university. Because I became involved with the music fraternity. And as a result of my involvement, I realized that I've learned a lot. Because there's a lot of requirement within the involvement. To keep your voice in tune, one must be able to take care of the voice, take care of the body, take care of the temple, to heal and to be able to reveal the power that is within. Because really, music is an expression of what is really within our, you know, that what we feel within ourselves. So in that sense, my involvement in the music has brought me to the level where I realize the importance of the music, and then in that sense I try to safeguard it within the culture and the words of righteousness. And just being here as a messenger to survive, to stay alive, I have to abide by natural spiritual laws, and I have to make sure that I live right, to keep myself in tune and to keep this inspiration coming within I and I. Because every one of us has some form of inspiration coming from within us. And you know, for example, here in the country, I was in the country, and there's this feeling that came upon me that I had to come to town to try and further my life. Because if I stayed here, I'll just get stagnant, you know, within the mind, you know.
And when was this?
Talking about the early years, after about 3 years of, after I leave Manchester High School, left, for example, about, I think about 21, I was about 21 when I came to town. Yeah.
You went back, and you went into the wilderness again a little bit yourself.
I started selling oranges at one time, because when I came to town the first time, it was hard to get a job which was suitable to my ambition, because from ever since I always tried to have some form of vision about my life, want to do something good with it. So in the early years of coming into town, I couldn't get a job which was suitable to my expectation. So I went back to the country and started going to the market with one of my brother, my elder brother, Brother Enoch, selling oranges in the marketplace, you know.
But you have been in and out of music to find yourself again, have you not?
Yeah, well, after recording, I started recording in 1992. And in coming up into 93, 94, I think it was 95, Brother Michael General, if you could remind me, please. But, you know, at times, we have to take a break. You know, I realize it's very important that every one of us, because even if you're running a supermarket, you have to stop and take stock, you know. So it's the same thing with music, you know. It's no different. You know, it's just a more kind of spiritual and more kind of telepathic vibes going on with the music, but it's no different from running a business. Yeah, you have to be able to abide by the principles.
I want you to tell us where Jamaican music is going into the future, especially as we hear it in the States, but I also would ask you to talk with some of the callers. Everybody is excited that you're here. Our guest is the singer.
Greetings, Jamaica.
Luciano.
Yes, sir.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
It's a blessing. And
greetings,
God, to speak out of goodness for the sake of goodness and the continuance of such.
Blessings.
Yes, Jalusi and Osoja, blessing.
Yes, my brother. Give
to
thanks.
The host.
Give thanks.
And each and everyone, blessed. Yeah, I am speaking of 34 years through treading through the creation.
Blessing.
And through that element, I, from out of your mountain, is speaking from the essence of what dwells. I've been listening to the program, and
yes,
this is the emanation.
Bless me.
It say, Manya isese, iwa jo kamanti. This is the root of the uncoding that will never be decoded. It is the essence of our people, and that is how we speak out of the mountain. Let's call it Bongo and Maroon Dark.
Caller, could I want you to focus a little bit on Luciano, because our time is short.
Yes. Luciano.
Yes, my brother.
The extension, Yaso, is that we understand the spirit of the durba and the drum.
Yes,
and
sir.
The essence of it is that I would love to stay away from middle of the road music and essentialize the focus upon the oppression of our people continually, because we are not free. And when we sing about the goodness of what is functioning and so forth, and the elemental Paulian and Christian element, it is good. But I, in conclusion to the whole statement, we need to focus upon the element of liberation for our people.
Caller, thank
but,
you. I want Luciano to...
That's a very good, very good point. Very good. But in, as His Majesty say, the ultimate goal of humanity is unity. But he said there's no way we can unite unless we have the Almighty God as our prime mover. So we, in as much as we seek for repatriation and reparation, we have to acknowledge that it's for a reason, a cause why I and I were scattered all over the world because of disobedience. We're the same one when Moses turned him back to go and pray. We start building some high dollar and start worship from false God. So we are saying, the only way we as a people can really rebuild in this time is when we unite. And only one force, there's only one substance that can really bring us together. One essence, and it's a spiritual essence. In as much as I and I seek for I and I roots Africa, we have to acknowledge that I and I Ethiopians are ancient Christians upon this tradition.
Caller, thank you. And to a new caller, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
I was with you before, Luciano. I remember a man who you signed some CD for and came on for your sister.
Bless her.
Last time you were there.
What's the name again, my brother?
Michael.
I think I can slightly. I think it's coming forward in the consciousness. You know?
Yeah, man. It's me, same one.
Yeah, a couple of CD. Well.
Yeah, man.
For real.
Well, I noticed that in the background, them playing Peter Tosh.
Okay.
Legalize it, and there's not many people who do renditions of Peter Tosh.
Okay.
And there's somehow, for a while, it seemed as if some of us had cast them into some kind of wilderness. Or we didn't want to
Nobody want to touch him.
I think what many people are afraid of is the radicalness of the brother.
I call it militancy.
Yeah, militancy. At one stage, I think he had gone a stage where he had recorded some bad word and all that on an album. And I don't think many people want to associate directly with guile words as easily as though they would associate with songs that can lift their meditation differently, you know?
But interestingly, but the song Legalize It, yes. Peter Tosh been saying Legalize It for a while,
yes.
Long time, and it seems as if at some states now the Jamaican government is about to decriminalize the use of marijuana.
We were talking with Barry Chauvin about that.
Yes, I heard that program.
Okay.
Well, now, is decrim enough, or are you still singing Legalize It?
No, I see, because other parts of the world, like in Canada, have allowed terminally ill people to use the cannabis. And in Amsterdam and those places, you have people can walk into stores and buy them as much herb as they want. To me, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. And the same in which the government, the so-called leaders of the world, have the big monopoly countries can regulate even the value of our money in a country like Haiti or Guyana, and make the value of their money reach so low that if you're not careful, you can't do nothing with their money down there. So I'm basically saying that we know that the hypocrisy of the so-called church and state has reached a state right now in the mind of man that we know we are looking elsewhere for solutions, really. And the herbs, as we know, was given by the Almighty God. It's God grow that. It's not when man go in a lab and make up it and boil up a thing and powder explode and all that. It's nothing like that. It's a natural herb which grows naturally. Bird pass their feces and a seed comes out of it. And before you know, a tree is planted.
Incidentally, a lot of people don't know this, but Polish farmers were exempted from the draft during World War II.
Okay.
Because they were the growers of hemp and cannabis. And it's very interesting that for so long, what has happened is that a lot of experiments are going on in the United States right now on cannabis. And I think part of the insidious nature of the United States political structure is that at some point, some drug company is going to patent extracts from the plant. And if we eradicate all of what we grow, then the economic value of it would have disappeared.
Yeah, listen, I think Jamaica should speak up on this louder and louder. Lots of Americans are waiting to hear it. A caller, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Let's try another one. Caller, good morning. Thank you for joining us on Tell Me About It with Luciano.
Hello, morning.
I will bless you. Good morning.
Luciano, I hear you mention about the name Yahweh and Yeshua.
Give thanks.
But can you tell the public more about this name? Because I think they have been confusing this name with Jesus.
Okay.
They don't fully understand what is happening here.
What really happened, the Hebrew, we have to know that the Hebrew language is the language in which Yahweh really has come.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the name for our God, the God of Jacob and Abraham. Yahshua is the true name of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, in the Hebrew language, there's no J, really.
Mm-hmm.
So J-E-S-U-S would be a word or a name that has derived as a result of man's intervention and their own intuition. But we know that the Jews were the one who changed the name from Yahweh to Jehovah,
mm-hmm,
to find other names which they claim which was more appropriate for a mortal tongue. They say Yahweh was too holy for a mortal tongue. You know, and I it is my duty to remind the people, especially I and I African race, for those who have been scattered over the world, because it's for a reason why I just scatter I and I. Because of disobedience and because of not leaning upon the truth that we have been hit to foundation.
You know, I have been investigating this name for some time, too.
Yes, ma'am.
And I realize that the name is so powerful that mankind is afraid to use this name.
Yes, it is true.
Now, when I did some investigation, the Bible talks about that his name must be taught throughout the world. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this church doesn't really know what the name is all about. And we realize that many of the musicians is using Jah, Jehovah, Haile Selassie. Nobody seems to understand who Yahweh really is.
But the Father, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but shall have everlasting.
But I have a Bible here that says, for Yahweh so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes,
so
for Yahweh.
There is a contradiction here.
No, we first have to acknowledge that there is a God figure. There's a Father. There's a Creator. There has to be a Creator for us. Every human being that comes in the sphere of this physical world have to give account to a Creator. Because man in flesh here, we didn't just prop up like corns out of pot. We were created. We were given faculties. We were given intuition. We were given reasoning ability. We were given sight by the Almighty. The breath, the very breath that God blew into our nostrils is what gives us overstanding. And I realize in my own levity that when I incorporate myself more to the breath or to the whole tradition of the ancientcy, this is when I get better understanding of my life and how to connect myself to the Creator. And this is by so doing that I have come to realize that man on earth, coming no matter what great works a man has done, he has to give account to a greater one who is beyond physical. Physical is one aspect and one expression of God, you know. Because when the Spirit of God move upon the waters, without flesh, just can move, just can manifest without even face and all these things, and on foot. We have to acknowledge that the great God we're talking about, he can't get whole, you know. And that a God, we have to go sleep and all them things, lock up in a house and draw in the curtain. Our God Almighty must be a greater God, a mighty Spirit.
I love to hear you preach.
Yeah.
And I notice you say, you don't say understanding, you say overstanding.
Yes, I am. I feel overs, right? I don't know what time, you know.
This is good. Luciano, the singer.
Blessings.
Is our guest.
The messenger is in town, you know.
Amen. Caller, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good morning, my
Excellent.
Brother.
Luciana.
Blessed, my brother.
Well, I give me great joy to hear you.
Give thanks, my brother.
Blessings. Yeah, man, I really pleased to know how you talk about Yahweh and the great king.
Give thanks, king.
Because then the people saying Selassie is king and God and whatever it may be. So when I hear you talk about Yahweh, the great king, I feel
great
good.
God, yeah, man. The great God of Jacob and Abraham.
Yeah, you know one thing I want to say again, Luciana.
Yes, my brother.
Is that we have some misleading with some people.
Yes.
Misleading is, the scripture says, the night, the moon and the star rule the night, sun rule the day.
Yes.
So when I hear people talking about 12 o'clock at night being day, how that come?
there's a lot of confusion and illusion going on still. With all the calendar and all the whole layout of the infrastructure of life, mankind don't have the full understanding. But as time progresses, because you know, as the spirit will never leave us, and the Bible says that God will never leave this world as an orphan. He will always send for us a comforter.
Yeah.
So someone will always be there to remind us, and I give thanks for that. Same way with Jah take Moses out of the hills from his flock to go for the children of the Israelites down in Egypt land. It's the same in which with send I and I, like send Brother Bob Marley, King Marley, to come redeem I and I out of Jamaica or Western Hemisphere. Or, you know, understand? Because we have been taken into slavery, and there must be someone to guide us in that sense.
Right.
And in the whole interim of the spirituality of man, every one of us benefits from the truth, whether you're black or white, Indian, Syrian, or whatever. But you see, the word of God is even more so those who are oppressed and those who are going through all different manner of stress. So the word of God is like a lamp unto I and I feet. You know.
Luciano, I wanted to ask you, you know, to the world out there, the world after Bob Marley, musically speaking, but also spiritually and religiously, what is Jamaica's message to the world in this new century.
Please repeat, my brother.
What does Jamaica want to say to the world in 2002?
Okay, what Jamaica is saying and has been saying over the years, because notwithstanding the fact that we, Jamaica, have been like the eye of the world, really, we have the visionaries, because there's a lot of great visionaries who come out, and Rastafarian tradition has really come forward with a strength in Jamaica here. There's no doubt about it. And this is the music, the reggae music, that we find that the message has come forward, I and I heal, I and I emperor, because for all those black people who never seek to know the rising king or the emperor Haile Selassie, who has come to redeem I and I in this time, to be a light unto the creator, a light unto the father. We in Jamaica here have been those revolutionary missionaries who go out with the music and try to teach the word of righteousness with the music. So we have to acknowledge that. If you notice, even Brother Bob Marley, when his works, if you listen to his works, he's always quoting a Bible passage. And to me, this is the only way. Righteousness is what we need to be exalted as a nation. And
we're going to go out with a song called Faith.
Faith.
Sung by Luciano. Would you tell us about it?
It's a pity time is so short on us, but what I really want to tell the people is that all these great miracles that Yahshua has wrought, healing people with sick and palsy and all that, people with issue of blood and all that, he has said to his apostles that they should marvel when they see him do all these things, because you and I can do it to him. So if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountain. Then suppose a man's faith can grow, because from that time when Jesus said that, or Yahshua said that, our faith could have grown, or must have grown, to if it's even a jackfruit seed or a pumpkin seed. A mustard seed is a very small seed, and Christ is saying, if our faith is as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountain. So I'm saying, when our people unite with that faith, knowing that there's a God who said, let there be light, and there is still light out there, because the sun ball up there, no man can make that and put that on stick. Man make one whip a street light and everything there, but how long will it last? And they have to be fighting for the oil to keep the light, their light shining. Well, the sun ball up there represents the energy, everlasting energy of the Almighty God. And I'm saying it's about time that mankind rise out of their illusion and stop worship man or mammon or idol or some false god. We have to see that the great God of creation, him have the whole earth in him and all other planets and the whole universe, boy and girl, man and woman, beasts, everything, every living creature out there in the wilderness, the Almighty, the great divine spirit of all of us, like babies in his hand. So we have to just keep that focus and just know that God bigger than man. Man must serve God and live as one.
The Bible says, be still and know that I am God.
Blessed. So faith moves mountains. We're going to ask the people just to have faith in the Almighty, faith in righteousness, because that's the only way out, you know.
Luciano, thank you
thank you very much
for joining us. We're going to go out on your song, Faith, but I also want to thank the people who have helped us so much this week. June Hines, earlier in the week, Emily Crooks, the producer, Roger Hutchinson, my producer from Boston, Benjamin Walker, Derek Wilkes of RJR, and Professor Charles Nesson of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society in the law school at Harvard University. Thank you. We've had a wonderful time in Jamaica. We'll see you again on the radio.
Thanks for coming, brother Chris.
Thank you.
Be wise and see. You can move any mountain. You're a blessed like a fountain. You will never be forsaken. Have faith. Faith is the substance. Once you believe, then all things shall reveal. 'Twas by faith he never walked to never fail. And by faith now I'll be prepared for all that.